Shalom, saints. God bless. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study once again. Everybody's more than welcome. Those watching on Zoom, welcome as well. Good to see everybody. Thank you for allowing us to fellowship around something which we really desire the Lord to help us in. We want to continue on in our thought today. I will share my screen if I can find it. We want to continue on our thought, which we've been having a look at, started last week, on soul winning, such an important principle, such an important thing. And I'm sure none of us would feel that we don't need to have more of him and to know more about the Lord in the line of soul winning. So if I can just find my screen here, I will share it. And that should get us going. Okay. Sorry, one second. Let us just view. And there you go. So we should be able to share now. So we wanted to continue on today. We're looking at part two of what we started last week. And this week, we'd like to look at just this thought of the power zone and the comfort zone, these two different places. So we're still looking at soul winning. We're trying to get down to the practicalities. We're all trying to learn the principles, spiritual, biblical principles of soul winning. You know, there's so many things. If you look on YouTube or you look around, there's so many people throw so many things around about this, about evangelism and so forth. And I think the greatest evangelist we can learn from is from Jesus himself, from the King himself, from the Word, from the apostles, bring it through to the message of the hour, and also from our past experiences. Some of the great lessons we've learned are the ones where we haven't done it properly and we've learned, okay, I thought I knew what I was doing, but I'm going to need the Lord to help me a little bit more the next time. So I think we've all learned very big lessons like that. But let's pray first before we come to the word. Lord Jesus, please bless this word to us, Lord. Please bless our study. Please draw near to us at this time, Lord. Please quicken us and encourage us and stir us up inside of our souls. Father, let the deep call unto the deep, and Father, help us to become what we're supposed to be, we ask. Father, better equip us, guide us, lead us, help us. In all of these things, we pray each and every one of your people, praying, Lord, your blessing upon every home, every house, every person, that you'd be, Lord, our guide, our teacher, our leader. Father, you're the only one who knows how to do these things properly, so impart those things to us, we pray. And Father, in it all, we pray that your name would be lifted up, that you'd be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at part two, the power zone and the comfort zone. We'd like to look at that this evening by the grace of God. Still looking at soul winning. Our scripture, Matthew 28, verse 18. I'm reading it from the Revised Version just because of just one phrase that it puts a little bit better. This is the Great Commission. Jesus came to them, that was to his disciples, and spake unto them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Jesus has full authority. He has full authority over every demon power, over every life, every soul. He has authority. And he says, this authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So the scripture saying, go ye therefore. That's each and every one of us. Every one of us is called to go forth to make disciples of all nations. Then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So once we make disciples, we win people to Christ. Next stage, we've got to teach them to observe, to walk in the word, to learn to walk with the Lord, to learn to pray, to learn to witness all these things. That's our responsibility as the church. And Jesus says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I think that is a great comforting point on this whole thing. If it was left to you and I, just in our own resources, our own ingenuity and wisdom to go forth and to evangelize, we surely wouldn't get the job done. I'm sure you agree with me on that. And I sent this one out today. If we truly realized who walks with us, remember, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So he's with us. When he sends us out, the one who sends us goes with us. If he truly realized who walks with us, fear would be impossible. That's where fear comes in, when we don't realize who's really walking with us. So if we really realized that he is so faithful to the promises that he makes in the commission, when he promised to be with us to the end of the world, he's going to be. When we step out in faith, we're going to find he's always there to meet us. We're going to find in that kind of a place, fear is going to be impossible. And we would like to be in that place. So what do we need to fulfill the Great Commission? The prerequisite is obviously power from on high. Jesus promised his disciples, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That includes everywhere where you and I are. If it's Balbriggan, if it's Dublin, if it's South Africa, if it's wherever that it's going to be, if it's going to be Ballyclare, if it's going to be, he says, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So every single one of us individually, he said, go ye therefore. That wasn't just his apostles. That was to every single believer. Go ye therefore. That's our great commission. That's what he has instructed us to do. Now at this point here, the day of Pentecost in itself was insufficient to get the Great Commission fulfilled. You just want to have a look at this thought. So Jesus sends them up, says, go, wait, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're imbued with power from on high. They go up there, the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes, the fire falls upon them. In itself, we'll see the baptism of the Holy Ghost is insufficient to get the Great Commission fulfilled. Now, God has played his part perfectly. You know, if I had to say it like this, the day of Pentecost gave the disciples all the resources they needed to get the job done. Everything required, he provided in the work of redemption. Everything we need to be what we're called to be, he has provided it for us. That's all in the work of redemption. That's in the atonement. So everything potentially, the disciples had everything they needed to be what they were supposed to become. And that was because of Calvary. The Lord demonstrated at Calvary and then at Pentecost his full and complete commitment to his side of the bargain. He said, look, this is a commission. This is going to be me and you going forth to evangelize. I'm going to do everything that I have to do. And that includes shedding of the blood, the blood of redemption, the pouring forth of the Holy Ghost, everything which we needed has been provided at Calvary and at Pentecost. And God has shown his willingness that whatever cost it was going to cost him to get this job done, he was willing to pay the price. But there's obviously another side to it, because this is a divine partnership. This is a co-mission. It's a mission between him and us. It's a co-mission to get the job done, a divine partnership. Excuse me. Listen to this quote. Brother Ram's praying, going to pray for people. And he says, may as they pass through this line, a prayer line, and we lay our hands upon them. So we lay our hands upon people. May they recognize it's not just going by man, but God and man is one. God has come into man, and God does nothing apart from man. That's what he does. His works is through man. He made man his partner. So in this great commission, Jesus says, I'm ascending to my Father. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. He says that all authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. And then he says, I will give you the power. I'll pour out power from on high. I'll be with you. I'll never ever renege on my side of this commission. I just want you to go forth. That's it. I'll be with you right to the end of the age, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Doesn't matter where you are. So the Lord connected himself. He continues in this quote. He said he connected himself to his disciples. They were the ones to ask. So we have to speak to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. But we're never going to get the job done without him. And he's never going to get the job done without us, because this is a real divine partnership. So it's God and man. Yeah, and this is intersection. That is your calling inside of your life. That is the place now where he can get the commission fulfilled. And where's the weak point in this plan? It's pretty obvious. The weak point is on the right-hand side. It's man is the weak point. The Lord is always going to be faithful, 100% faithful, true to the commitment that he makes in this. He'll never put upon us more than we're able to bear. He'll never send us anywhere that his grace cannot keep us, as the saying says. But you know, man, on the other hand, you just have to look in the mirror and you realize this is the part of the plan where things can maybe fall short, is that it's a commission. God has tied himself together with man. But the place where the Great Commission can be fulfilled is in this sweet spot here, this zone that you put where God and man intersects. This is the place of the divine partnership. This is the place when you and him go forth. Wonderful things can take place. I called that the power zone. That's why I thought today was the power zone and the comfort zone. So that's the place of power. The place of power is not in yourself. It's I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah, you can't do it without him. He can't do it without us. That's why we've got to come together in that power zone, where God and man come together and he anoints you and he leads you and he uses you and the word goes forth from the body and end time evangelism can take place. That you have the power zone, that's when God meets up with you in your commission, your calling. But there's another zone as well, which is the comfort zone. That's the place where man is just by himself. You know, you get in your comfort zone. This is a place that's pretty much opposed to the power zone. This is the place where you relax, you sit back, you say, well, if people are going to get saved, God's going to have to save them, which is true. But if people are going to get saved, man's going to have to go forth and preach the gospel as well to get them saved. So there's these two zones. So let's have a look at this comfort zone. We've looked at it a little bit once before, I think about a year ago. In worldly terms, they say about your comfort zone, there's you and your comfort zone. There's me in my comfort zone sitting at home enjoying our cup of tea. It's a Saturday. We've got nothing to do. The rest of the people are saying, let's get out there and do some evangelism. And we're just sitting there and we're scrolling through TikTok and we're watching YouTube and we're just having a good time. We're in the comfort zone. We're believers. We're saved by grace. That's it. That's fine. And that's true. But the place where, worldly speaking, the magic happens, where things start taking place, is beyond our comfort zone, when we're willing to step beyond the comfort zone. Like I say, that place which I've called the power zone. So you're going from your comfort zone, you're stepping out in faith and obedience, you're following the Lord now, and he takes you into this power zone. This is a wonderful place. This is where things really get done, where the magic happens, like they say. Now, when you get to the end of your comfort zone, get into the power zone. That's the place of faith. That's a place of divine reality. They say faith begins at the end of your comfort zone. Yeah, it just really depends on whether we want to build up our faith and increase our faith and stuff. We can sit back in the comfort zone, or we can step forth, led of the Holy Ghost, into that place beyond the comfort zone. And that's a place where our faith starts to increase. They say when God opens a door, it's often an exit from our comfort zone. So looking on the left-hand side, there's our comfort zone. When we're willing to step out, when we're following the Lord, when there's a Macedonian call, when you're feeling a burden to get out and do something for the Lord, tell somebody about the Lord, or, you know, the Lord lays a burden upon you for somebody. That's an open door. And that place, the power zone, is the place of the open door. When we're willing to walk through that door, step sometimes out. That song by Casting Crowns says, step out of your comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. Yeah, and that's what it is, willing to step out of the comfort zone, sometimes into the place of the unknown, into the place where we find, wow, this is where God meets you in the place of power. God meets you in the place of the commission. When you and him go forth together, you're going forth in obedience out of your comfort zone, you're going to find there's potential for tremendous things to take place. Now, let's not forget our comfort zone. The three zones, which they say, first, you got your comfort zone. It's pretty static. It's fixed. It's restful. It's relaxed. It's easy. And I don't think the Lord wants us to live too much of an easy life. You step out of your comfort zone, you get into the stretch zone. You're willing to step out in faith. Okay, Lord, show me. I can feel you want me to do this. And let me go and speak to my neighbor. Let me speak to this guy on the bus. Let me speak to the person at college. You know, there's something in my heart. I'm really feeling to speak to this. You stretch yourself. You move beyond the comfort zone. The stretch zone is when there's new, things are new. It's challenging. Yeah, it's demanding and it's uncertain. You're not exactly sure. Maybe it's the first time you've spoken to that person. First time you've stepped out in this kind of a way. You're stretching yourself. You're going beyond the comfort zone. There's some uneasiness that this is the place of developing and learning. It's tiring, but it's satisfying, you know, because there's effort. There's some stress involved. You're stepping out in faith. It's the place of the unknown sometimes. Sometimes it's the first time you've done it. It's not that easy. Now, you don't want to push yourself too far. You want to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, because if you're going to step too far, you get into the panic zone. That's when it's just overwhelming. Now, that's when you're a quiet sort of a person. You get yourself and a whole crowd of people gathers around you and say, tell us about this and that. And you don't know what to say. It can be overwhelming, stressful. Yeah, and you just have the urge to retreat. You just want to get out of there. You say, hey, I can't take this. It's too much. But there's a place. God never leads a person to the panic zone. The Lord will always lead you to this place of development, to challenge you, but to move you on. And that's where we have the comfort zone. We want to get ourselves into that stretch zone, move out from our comfort zone. Another way to look at it, there's one more zone we need to understand. Just beyond your comfort zone is the fear zone. Yeah, as soon as you think somebody says, okay, guys, let's get down to Omni Shopping Center. Let's go and give out some tracts after church on Sunday. There's the fear comes in. Yeah, well, you feel, okay, let me go and speak to this person. Or you sit on the airplane with somebody and say, let me try to tell this person about the Lord. The initial feeling is that fear, and you've got to overcome the fear. In the fear zone, you always try to find an excuse as to why you can't do it. It's not really the place that you want to stay into. You have to break through this fear zone, break through this barrier. And that's going to mean you're going to have to overcome self. You're going to have to overcome certain things, face up to your fears. And that's a great, great place to be as a believer when the Lord is leading us to face up to our fears. Now we impose all these limitations upon ourselves, and the Lord's trying to show you that no, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now you and me together, there's powerful things we can do if you'll just step out of your comfort zone. Yes, we're going to step out of the boat. There's going to be some fear, but just keep your eyes upon me and I will take you through the fear zone. And beyond the fear zone, we get the learning zone. Now we started to acquire new skills. Now we extending our comfort zone. You know, we pushing the boundaries, we pushing the borders a little bit further. Yeah, that's really, really a place that we want to get into, the learning zone. And then beyond the learning zone is the growth zone. So while we learn, now we're starting to grow. Now our abilities are starting to expand. Now our experience is starting to increase. And now we're better able and are learning how to handle our weapons, how to use the word, how to use prayer, how to speak to people, how to speak to gay people, how to speak to people with tattoos on every inch of their body, and you know, how to speak to people with earrings and nose rings and lip rings and tongue rings, and I don't know where else they put the rings, but you know, the Lord leads you into a situation that you can start to grow, to learn how to speak to Muslim people and Mormon people and Jehovah's Witness people. Yeah, this is the growth zone. This is when you're going to grow as a believer, grow in your experience. But when you stay in the comfort zone, if you're unwilling to step out, that's the problem. If you speak of the fear zone, there's quite a number of reasons why we fear to step into the fear zone. Is what is the fear of? Firstly, failure. What happens if it doesn't work? You know, what about rejection? What happens if I give a tract and somebody shouts at me? You know, embarrassment. What happens if I don't know how to answer? I don't know what to say. You know, it's natural. That's the fear zone, because you haven't been outside of the nest very much in this direction. You haven't stretched your comfort zone this much. So as soon as you start moving in that direction, following the call, following the deep, following the burden, you're going to have to overcome your fear, that fear zone. Now, there can be no development, no growth in the comfort zone. You got to step beyond it. And this is going to be a step of faith, a step of obedience, following his leadership. When he opens the door, you step through. Paul's never been to Macedonia. Come over to Macedonia. He gets in a boat. He goes into the unknown. He's now getting out of that comfort zone of Asia. He's getting into Europe. Things are going to open up in wonderful ways when he follows the leadership of the Holy Ghost there. In this place now, when you move beyond the fear zone, we get into the learning zone and the growth zone. This is when we learn to better handle our gifts, our callings, our spiritual weapons, how to use the word in real life practical applications, how to answer questions. These are real things which are going to put more and more in your spiritual armory. The more time you spend in this kind of a zone, this is where we possess more of our inheritance, because footsteps means possession. We've got to step out of the comfort zone. And each step we take, we're possessing more and more of our inheritance, more and more of what the Lord had in store for us. This is the place where we strengthen our faith muscles. It's a place we have to exercise our faith. And faith only gets stronger when we exercise it. And unfortunately, when you stay in the comfort zone, we get a little bit in the fear zone and we run back into the comfort zone. We rob ourselves of the privilege of knowing him in the commission when he says, "I am with you." To really have a deeper experience, a practical experience of him being with you out there on the battlefront, in that learning zone, getting into the growth zone. What a wonderful thing to learn from him. Now, the greater experiences and testimonies are beyond the comfort zone. So if you want a great experience with the Lord and greater testimonies, they're not going to come when you just sit in the comfort zone. Now, you've probably gone as far as you can. You've exhausted most of the possibilities of where you are now. You've got to step out, and then there's got to be great experiences, new experiences with testimonies. I wrote here, this is the place of your new ministry. You can move beyond the first and second pull, step out into the third pull, into your new ministry now. But it's going to have to be overcoming, because you're going to have to go through the fear zone. You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. The fear zone, where it sometimes gets us, is the power of past experiences, our negative past experiences. We have memory and reasoning, the greatest battle ever fought. We remember the last time we did this, and it was uncomfortable. And, oh, what about this? What about that? And Satan comes in, the greatest battle ever fought in our mind. And if he can reason you out of the leadership of the Holy Ghost. He can point you back to things in the past, where the Lord's trying to point you to things in the future. The Lord's trying to say, it's okay, let's forget about the past. Let's speak and go forward. Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind me, I press on towards the mark for the prize of the higher calling in Christ Jesus. That's what you want. That's what I want, the higher calling in Christ. We appreciate what he's done. We appreciate what he's doing. But there's greater things in store. And those things are beyond our comfort zone. That's when you have to face up to our fears, face up to our limitations, and realize that when he's with us, he can help us break through those self-imposed limitations, or the limitations that other people put upon us. Like Gideon. Gideon thought, oh, I'm so limited. I'm not a mighty man of valor. But he was. But he had to break through the fear zone and go through the learning zone. Go and read the book of Judges. You'll see it. And then he got into the growth zone and he became a mighty man, a great judge, and all those kind of things. But he had to overcome self, and the Lord had to help him step by step to overcome. Abraham says, when God gives his church a blessing and they move along in that blessing so long until it becomes common to the world, then they begin to run it down. So we stay in a spiritual place for so long. We go along to church, we go home, we pray in the morning, we do this, we do that, and it becomes common. Now you lose the spiritual blessing. It's the thing that the blessing starts to run down. God doesn't want it to be like it. He wants it to be living waters, running waters. He says, then the Spirit of God comes in and raises up a standard again. And there's a breaking forth of a revival or something. You're going to step out. God's going to quicken you to step out of your current situation, your current circumstances, so that he can bless you in a more real way. And that's really what he wants to do. He wants to bless us in a more real way. But that's going to have to be outside of our comfort zone. And I think that's a powerful principle Brahman's giving us. If you stay in the comfort zone, you start to stagnate. And there's nothing new. All of your testimonies are past testimonies. You speak about this happened last year at the camp, and this happened 2 years ago, and this happened 10 years ago and stuff. Now, we've got to be careful. The comfort zone can also be the place of temptation, can be the place now where the still waters, that's where the bad things start to breed. You don't want it to be like that. So what do we want to do? We want to break through this fear zone. So we want to have a look at that this evening. How did they do it in the Bible? How do we break through this fear zone? How did they do it in these apostolic times? Because what we need, if you're going to be evangelists, if you're going to fulfill the Great Commission, every single one of us, men, women, children, youth, whoever we are, we all have a part to play in the Great Commission. We're going to need boldness. This is one of the prerequisites for evangelism, for reaching out, for witnessing. We need boldness. And I'm sure, like me, you desire greater boldness than you have. We're going to need this. This is something we absolutely, evangelism in any of its forms requires boldness. I'm sure we all know that getting out on the street needs boldness. Speaking to the person next to you on the plane is going to need some boldness. Speaking to your friends at college, speaking to your neighbor, speaking to the other young ones gathering in the neighborhood is going to take boldness. What is boldness? Boldness is lack of hesitation or fear in the face of risk or danger. Now, I don't know about the fear side, but I'd say more, this is from the dictionary, it's more like lack of hesitation. Because boldness means you're going to face up to that fear. You'll have the fear, but you're bold. You're going to go into, yes, maybe it is. You've overcome your fear. You're going to go and face up to a situation that before you never would have faced up to because of the natural fear that you had of that situation. And most of the fear just builds up in our mind. It's not a real thing that we're trying to cross bridges before we get to them. You know, we build up this great something and you step out in faith and you find there's nothing like you thought. You say, but wow, I never ever thought I could go and preach on the streets. And then the Lord leads you to do it. And you say, wow, that's what George Whitefield and John Wesley and them did. They never ever thought they'd go and preach in the countryside and the streets. Then the churches were closed to them. They started doing it. Then they had tens of thousands of people coming. God anointed them. And people, it became a revival in those days when they stepped out in boldness, facing up to their fears and their prejudices and things like that, going beyond the fear zone into the learning zone, into the growth zone, and then you're now into that place where you're in a place of a new experience, a new ministry with the Lord. So the apostles, they had this boldness. Boldness is also the refusal to be held back by the opinion or the judgment of others. Now people are telling, you can't do it. Who are you? And this, that. Oh, these days you can't go and tell people about Jesus. It's Pride Month and all these kind of things. Now, boldness inside of you when the Lord is stirring something up inside of you, you refuse to be held back by the opinions and judgments of others. It's only one opinion and judgment that you worry about, and that's of the Lord. That's of the Holy Ghost leading and guiding you inside of your life. You know, so what is another way we could define boldness? In other words, boldness is stepping beyond your comfort zone. You know, you need boldness to do it. That's what it is. When you're stepping out of your comfort zone, that's a demonstration of boldness. You're stepping out of the place that you're so familiar with. You're getting into a place, they say, that where success happens, where blessing is, where there's greater anointing and greater spiritual experiences and testimonies and bringing forth fruit for his glory and winning people to Christ and, you know, being on the street and pray for someone, they get healed and you see the hand of God and all these things that you come and testify like they did in the book of Acts. But remember in Acts chapter 1 at the beginning, when you speak of apostolic boldness, they weren't bold at the beginning of Acts chapter 1. They were hiding in an upper room. You know, you go and read the end of Matthew and the end of Mark, Luke, John. The disciples weren't very bold. And Jesus had to tell them, go and wait, and I'll give you the spirit of boldness, the Holy Ghost. And then you can go forth and be my witnesses. Now, Satan's all he's going to do is best to knock the confidence out of us. That's his job. As soon as you step out of the comfort zone, start challenging his kingdom in any way, getting out there, shining light into the darkness, you know, he's going to leave you alone pretty much while you're sitting back in the comfort zone, when you just wanted to maintain the status quo, you got like this uneasy truce with the devil. Okay, I won't trouble you if you don't trouble me. I've seen believers like that, but you don't want to be that kind of a believer. You want to be somebody who Satan doesn't like you being around. He'd prefer you to be off the scene. And that's what the disciples were after Pentecost, those kinds of people. So in Acts chapter 4, they raise up the lame man at the gate, beautiful. They preach to the people. Thousands are coming to the Lord. And now the devil raises up in the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, not happy with what's going on. And they call the disciples in now to try to knock this boldness out of them, knock the confidence out of them. This is Acts 4 verse 17. I took it from the Bible in basic English. I like the definition. It says, this is what the Sanhedrin spoke among themselves. But so that it may not go farther among the people, what these disciples were doing, let us put them in fear of punishment if they say anything in future in this name. So they said, let's bring these guys in and scare them and threaten them with punishment because they're being too bold. You know, let's knock this boldness out of them. Naturally speaking, that's a frightening experience, being brought before these great groups of men with soldiers and they can throw in prison, take your life. And they're threatening you. They're not happy. This is the devil incarnate in these men. Yeah, and you can't tell me the disciples weren't shaken by these kind of things. Peter's there and John is there standing before them. Naturally speaking, this is frightening. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. You know, so they shook the disciples and said, hey, if we see you again, this, that, we're not going to be so lenient on you next time. And maybe the disciples, you find some of them got a little bit shaken. So where did they get their boldness renewed? What did they do to renew their boldness once again? We need to learn this as well, because we're going to have some negative experiences along the way. We're going to have negative experiences in our evangelism. How do we keep the enthusiasm and the boldness going so that we can maintain, consistently keep going forward into enemy territory, planting the standard of the gospel, they're shining light into the darkness, even when Satan is growling against us and people are threatening and, you know, the conditions even of the day that we're living in. They went back and asked, where did they get the boldness from in the beginning? It says Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Now, this is where we get our boldness from. When you spend time with Jesus, you're going to get a supernatural boldness. You and I, some people are naturally bold. They're born like Adam. And you've got to be careful of that because you can run ahead of God. That's not the boldness we're speaking about. We're speaking of a spiritual boldness. We're speaking of a quickening power that the Lord anoints you in your commission. When you spend time with the Lord and he's real to you and he speaks to your sixth sense, your faith, yeah, and you get more of the quickening power inside of your soul. You feed upon the word. You get out, you're going to have a renewed boldness. That's where the disciples got their boldness. So when the Sanhedrin now threatened them, and now they're a bit shaken, maybe they're bruised, they've been beaten up a little bit, where do they go? They go back to the disciples for a good old apostolic prayer meeting. They went back in fellowship with the believers, told them what was going on, and they started to pray. And Acts 4 tells us what they prayed. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Yeah, so their threatenings were quite fierce. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. They went back to the rest of the disciples, the Bible says, to their own company, and they told all that the chief priests had said. And they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Friends, the power of an old-fashioned apostolic prayer meeting. That's how we need to keep apostolic prayer meetings going, because this is the place that when you've been out there and you had a difficult week and you don't really feel like getting out there again into the line of battle on a Saturday to go and witness to somebody, that you come now and you pray this kind of a prayer. Grant unto your servants, Lord, that with all boldness we may speak thy word. And every single one of us needs to pray that. And what is the response from heaven when they prayed that? And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now that was the original way that God kept his people bold. There's no new way. We can't use psychology. We can't psych each other up. We can't offer each other, if you get out, I'll take you to McDonald's and all these kind of things. You know, we don't want to be using that artificial means. The place of boldness is in prayer, is in fellowship, is a fresh quickening power, fresh experience with the Holy Ghost. Just like these disciples had, they had a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. They'd filled them once again, and they went out and spake the word with boldness. Now, we're going to need boldness in evangelism. There's one other thing this evening I want to have a look at that we're going to absolutely need, and that is divine leadership. You might be bold and you go to the wrong place. It's not going to do very much good. You might be bold and you go and speak to the wrong people at the wrong time, and you're going to do more harm than good. So as much as we need divine boldness, we also need divine leadership. We need the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And this is what they prayed for in the Bible. They prayed for the leadership. Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, this is in Antioch, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So how did Barnabas and Saul know what to do and when to go? They went and prayed. They ministered to the Lord and fasted and prayed. And in the midst of that, the Holy Ghost came down and revealed and said, let Barnabas and Saul go to the work whereunto I have called them. Abraham says, that's the trouble with the church today. You rely upon your own senses and ability instead of taking it to the Lord in prayer. That's right. Today, we start to send somebody. We get down, have a little council and meet and say, we should do this or go here or do that. That's what you've been saying this last week, even in our evangelistic meeting on Sunday. We don't want to rush. We want to wait in prayer. Because the best thing is that the Lord starts speaking to people and sending them out and separating them like Barnabas and Saul for the work unto which he has called them. We can get together and say, okay, you go here, you go. That's okay. We can do the best. We can rely, like you're saying, upon our own senses and abilities. Yeah, okay, let me go here. It's not too far from my house. Let's go to this town, whatever. That's okay. It's good. It's good to do it for the Lord anyhow. But they were so effective in the book of Acts because they didn't just sit down and say, let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. The Bible says, but in the Bible, in the days before they sent out the apostles, they met together and fasted and prayed. And the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit, you notice, not man's opinion, but the Holy Spirit leading and guiding. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. That's what we desire. So we want to stay in the Spirit to keep the spirit of boldness, the spirit of expectancy, to stay in an encouraged, positive, led of the Holy Ghost condition. And then we want to seek for the Lord to lead us and guide us where to go and what we should do. What's the work, Lord, that you have called me unto? But before they sent out the apostles, they met together and fasted and prayed. And then the Lord now started to send the people out. That's what we desire. Now, Jesus said, you shall receive power. Now, we're going to need this power. We're going to need this boldness. We're going to need this leadership. And we're going to need power. We're not going to ever get this job done in our own strength, in our own ability. We're going to need to receive power. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Brother says, that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. That's what God sent the Holy Ghost for. The Holy Ghost came to give you power. If you read the Amplified Bible, that word power, they put it in brackets. It's power, ability, efficiency, and might. So he gives you the ability. He gives you the efficiency. He gives you the might. That's really what we desire, to do whatever he's called you to do, whatever the Lord's calling you to do, whatever the Lord lays upon me to do, whatever the Lord calls us as a church to do. We're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost, the power, ability, and efficiency and might of the Holy Ghost if we want to go out and be effective in this evangelism. So we've read this before, but I just wanted to go through again. What kind of power does the Holy Ghost give? Firstly, he gives you power in prayer. They prayed a prayer, such a powerful prayer there in the book of Acts that the building shook, the Holy Ghost came down and filled them all. Wow. That is powerful prayer. Power in prayer gives you power. Power in prayer. Romans says, you take a person that's lived a good life, but they're always defeated. Oh, I tell you, good person. Oh, sure, I love the Lord, Brother Branham. Always defeated. They never get a prayer answered. You fill that little woman with the Holy Ghost one time. Watch what takes place. When she goes before God, she's not defeated. She comes boldly to the throne of God, believing. She has a right because she's a daughter of God by birth. She knows that not just somebody telling her she's a child of God. She knows by her own experience of the new birth that she's a child of God, that she's not what she ought to be, but she's not what she used to be. She knows there's something in her that never used to be in her. She knows greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. She knows it by experience. And now she can come before the throne of grace and prevail in prayer and offer an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous woman or a righteous man. And that makes power available. That's when the Lord starts to move. That's when God starts to lead. That's when God starts to speak into the situations of people. So we need the Holy Ghost to give us power in prayer because we need old-fashioned apostolic prayer meetings. If we have old-fashioned apostolic prayer meetings, we'll have the same old-fashioned leadership of the Holy Ghost to separate Barnabas and Paul the way that they did in the Bible. The prophet says the next one, take a little man so cowardly, the boss kicks him all over the place. And now if something happens to him, he says, say, now wait a minute here. Now something changed. See, he's got the Holy Ghost. It gives you power. Your life is full of power. It gives you power in speech. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he spoke those words and he says, you crucified the Son of Life with wicked hands and so forth. And 3,000 were pricked in their hearts and came to the Lord and wondered. That wasn't the old Simon the fisherman. That wasn't old Peter there with his boats. This was now Simon Peter, the apostle, called of Christ, filled of the spirit of boldness, given power in speech. Now when he went and spoke to somebody, it was effectual, it had effect. The things which they said, the things which they spoke. So they had power in prayer, these disciples also had power in speech. And that's why we need to come before the Lord, to seek for that power and that boldness, that leadership, you know, a fresh anointing to be clothed in the garments of redemption so you might go forth in his name. He says, I was talking on power of prayer, power of speech, power for a holy life. That's what the Holy Ghost is to do. He says, some of you people walking along saying, well, I can't just quit drinking. You put whatever your problem is in there. I just can't quit, you know, gossiping. I just can't quit lusting, whatever that it is. I just can't quit this. He says, the Holy Ghost comes to live in you to make all of these can'ts get away from you. And you say, I can't. That can't will disappear inside of your life by the grace of God, because he'll sanctify you and he'll equip you. He'll energize you. He'll give you power to say no to the things that you couldn't say no to before. Now, there's nothing as bad as wanting to get out there and do something for the Lord and you've got a guilty conscience. And you don't want to do that. You want to make sure your sins are under the blood. Yes, all of us fall short of the glory of God. That's why Christ died for us. But the Lord wants to deliver us from these big weaknesses, from these big overwhelming sins in our life where Satan condemns us all the time and keeps us in our comfort zone, because whenever we step out, he reminds us of our weaknesses. He reminds us of these things that we're failing to overcome. The Holy Ghost wants to help us with that. The prophet says, yes, that's right. Oh, yes, that's what it's for, to make you a holy life. It'll follow the instructions of the Bible every time. So the Holy Ghost will lead us in the word each and every time. And that's why we need the Holy Ghost. Now, don't forget, never forget that the greater promises are to the overcomers in each age. An overcomer means you're stepping out of the comfort zone. You're overcoming yourself. You're breaking through the fear zone. You're following the leadership of the Holy Ghost, even into the unknown. You don't know what it means. You don't know what's going to take place. Ooh, Lord, I'm not too sure about this neighborhood here that you've led me to go and witness to, like the prophet in Memphis. But that's overcoming. You're overcoming yourself. And the greater promises in every church age are to the overcomers of the age. When you step out of your comfort zone, you'll find Jesus is already there. He's waiting for you. You know, you'll think, what am I going to do? Maybe I'll make a mess. Maybe, you know, you'll get out there and you'll be surprised. You say, but what? I don't even know where those words came from. There's somebody, when you meet someone on the street, they say, please pray for me. I listened to the testimony of one man yesterday. It was very interesting, of years back when he went down and he had just become a Christian himself. And he went down to this place where there was this mass baptism taking place. It was in the 1960s in the Jesus movement. And they were doing these baptisms on the beach in California. And he went down there, but he got there too late. Yeah, and then he had his Bible with him. He's a young believer, sat down there. And then these two girls came up to him and said, hey, we're too late for the baptism. Can you not, are you not a pastor? Can you not baptize? He says, I'm not a pastor. I'm just a new believer. And he says, and he went and he baptized them. And he says, and then when he came out of the water of baptism, there was a whole crowd of young people standing watching. And he said, I'd never ever thought in my life to preach on the street to people. And I preached to the people. He said, and four of them came to the Lord. He says, then I started to see that the Lord can do things in and through us that sometimes we limit ourselves concerning. You'll say, I'll never be able to do this. No, no, well, you'll be surprised. If the Lord's calling you to do it, if it's in his will, he said, I'll be with you, even in you to the end of the age. And he says that he'll give us, he's given us the resources. He died for us on Calvary. He's given us the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. He's provided his word. He's provided fellowship. He's given us all the resources that we need. And he says, okay, now use this in the Great Commission that I'm calling you to. So let's summarize as we come to an end. Apostolic evangelism, which is what we're speaking of, old-fashioned, old-time evangelism, which is what we need in the end time. We need the restoration. That's what end-time evangelism is. It's the restoration of the apostolic evangelism. Apostolic evangelism requires apostolic boldness. Now, we're going to need to be as bold as them, because this age is just as fierce as that age. Now, we may not be thrown into prison the way that they were, but you're going to meet up with some fierce things when you get out there. You know, you're going to get some scary people. We need apostolic boldness. An apostolic boldness which requires the apostolic Holy Ghost. That's where they got their boldness from. It was from the Holy Ghost. And apostolic Holy Ghost, to get it, requires apostolic prayer. Because that's where the Holy Ghost fell on them, was while they were in prayer in an apostolic prayer meeting. So you'd always find these two things are totally hand in hand, dependent on each other, evangelism and prayer. You know, those two things have to go together. You'll find it through that book of Acts, the early chapters. You'll find it in your own experience. To be effective in evangelism, you've got to be effective in prayer. Now, to get out there, even for 2 hours of evangelism, you need to spend time with the Lord so that you can go out with boldness like the disciples says. They were bold and they realized they'd been with Jesus. That's where the boldness came from. That's where the anointing came from. That's where the quickening power came from, was their prayer, uniting themselves together in prayer, praying for boldness and the Lord coming and separating Barnabas and Paul. Now, apostolic evangelism also requires something else. It requires, we said, the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We absolutely need the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And you can't have the leadership of the Holy Ghost unless there's the apostolic Holy Ghost in your life so that he can lead you. And to get the apostolic Holy Ghost, you need apostolic prayer. So whichever way you look at it, if you're looking for boldness, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're needing the leadership of the Holy Ghost, we need apostolic prayer. That's why we said the prayer meetings are so important, the all-night prayer, and your time in the closet yourself alone wrestling with the Lord. When you start, your batteries start getting run down because of the war of attrition that Satan fights against us during the week when he wants to wear us down, or he comes, he wants to knock the confidence out of us. We've got to come back to be recharged once again so that our boldness and our enthusiasm, that we get the vision clear once again. So we need to come into his presence. We need to be freshly anointed. We need a fresh experience with God. And the greatest way of doing that is in prayer, your own prayer, but also our apostolic prayer meetings, old-fashioned prayer meetings, where we're praying to the Lord to say, Lord, give us boldness that you may preach your word without fear. And guide us, Lord, in the place that you desire us to go. So to finish, Balaram says, the Holy Ghost is to take the church over. Not a political vote of who is who. So we want to have a vote in church again. Let's have a vote. Who thinks Brother so-and-so should go here? Who thinks... No. We don't want politics like that. He says God placed in the church. You know, it's God who places these things in the church. Some apostles, some prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Not men voted them in there. God placed them in there. How? Number one, by the calling of the Holy Spirit. Separate me, Barnabas and Paul. So when you get yourself in prayer and you're waiting upon the Lord, and then the Lord lays a burden upon you and he says, why don't you go down to Drogheda? Go down with some people on Saturday and go down and speak to people, or maybe go to Rush, go down to the harbor on, after church on a Sunday. Who knows what it is that the Lord will lead you to do? But you want God to place people there by the calling of the Holy Spirit. He says, by the calling of the Holy Spirit, secondly, by prayer meetings. This is how God places people in the right position. He calls them by the Holy Ghost and in prayer meetings and then laying on of hands and staying before God. This is where the apostles got their power. This is where they got their victory. This is how they turned the world upside down in their day. This is how they got themselves in the power zone. Let me just go back there. This is how they got themselves out of the, stayed out of the comfort zone. If I can just get my picture again. This is how you stay in the power zone by the grace of God. Or when you're getting out of the power zone and you're starting to drift into lukewarm Laodicea again, and you're starting to feel at ease in Zion in the comfort zone, you want to let everybody else go and pray. Let everybody else get out there and do the work. Friends, the Great Commission is to every single disciple, every single follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have our part to play in the Great Commission, and we're never going to fulfill it in the comfort zone. So the way we get into the power zone is through prayer, is through the power of the Holy Ghost. The way we stay in the power zone is we keep coming back like the disciples in prayer to get a refilling of the Holy Ghost, to get recharged, re-quickened, re-anointed once again, so we can renew our boldness and our zeal to keep going out there in the midst of battle in the face of the enemy, to win souls to Christ so that the Lamb can receive the reward of his sufferings. Yeah, when Satan knocks you out of the power zone and you got bad memories, had a bad experience last time you went on the street, just get yourself back in an apostolic prayer meeting. Just get yourself back clothed once again in the robes of redemption of the Holy Ghost, and God will quicken you back into the power zone once again. He'll say, it's okay, let's go. Yeah, the Lord will you say, let's go, let's take it from the top, let's do it again. And this time when you got clothed in him, following his leadership with the expectation that he's going to do his will in your life, tremendous things can take place. So that's why we have a choice. Do you want to stay in the comfort zone or do you want to get into the power zone? Now, obviously, as we showed there, to get into the power zone, you're going to have to go a little bit through the fear zone. You're going to have to overcome some of your fears, some of your can'ts. I can't do this and I can't do that. The prophets let the Holy Ghost come in your life and he knocks the can'ts out of your life. You find out that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we need the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We don't want to presume in these things. We don't want to be leading ourselves. We don't want to, you know, that's just messes things up. We want to just come before the Lord with sincerity and then he will separate Barnabas and Paul. He'll lay something upon you. He'll lay the neighbor upon your heart. You'll be sitting in the bus and the Lord will give you an opportunity to speak to the person across the way. Whatever, he's the one who'll open up the door. But if we are willing to step out of the comfort zone, into that learning zone, into that growth zone, and he'll keep taking us on, and we'll better learn how to use our weapons, come into fresh experiences, fresh testimonies. We'll come back bearing precious sheaves, like the Bible says, and that's what we desire, so we can fulfill that which is required of us. That's my desire, saints. I know that's your desire as well. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, We would ask that grace, Lord. We would ask for that mercy, Lord. Father, we think of those prayer meetings that they prayed. How wonderful, Lord. We think of the grace you've been bestowing upon us. We think of the all-night prayer meetings, Lord. And Father, how we just pray that you'll pour forth the old-fashioned Holy Ghost, Lord, with old-fashioned apostolic boldness upon your people, Father, at this time. And Lord, we seek for the old-fashioned apostolic leadership of the Holy Ghost so we can fulfill this great commission in our generation, in our time, in our age, in the place that you've called us to. Father, may you stir up your people, Lord. Father, may you call us to the closet. Father, may we spend more time with you. Because, Lord, when they saw the disciples were bold the way that they were, they knew they'd been with you. And that's what we desire. So bless your people upon this night. Father, take this thought, just the simplicity of it, I pray. And Father, Lord, just burden us, Lord. And Father, just re-energize us, Lord. And just let us get fresh focus once again. And may you help us to keep that focus. And bless us as we gather for prayer on Friday. May you help us to come to the prayer meeting prayed up, O Lord. That you may be of a one accord like the word in Acts chapter 4. That, Father, we may seek and lay a hold of heaven in a way that you shake the building in a wonderful place and shake us, Lord, in that sacred way that only you can shake us, Lord. And Father, bless your people that have tuned in this evening, Lord. Visit every home, every soul. Bless them that are on YouTube. Anybody that might watch this down the way, may you bless them, Lord. And Father, may it just be something, a little stone in the slingshot to help us on the way to bringing down this great Goliath of fear and uncertainty that always comes in these kind of times. Grant us that grace, we pray. Be with us in the remainder of this fellowship now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you richly this evening. Not sure if anybody has anything they'd like to add or to say or to contribute this evening. We'd be pretty glad to hear from you. About the comfort zone and boldness. I'm sure you desire boldness like me. I know there's quite a few people on YouTube. If you've got any questions, you can send them on WhatsApp as usual. But anybody, any thoughts concerning what we've fellowshipped around this evening? I know that it's simplicity. I know that it's nothing. There was no university degrees given out tonight. But I think sometimes it's just good to go back and examine those simple principles once again, because maybe our outreach sometimes fails. Why? Because we haven't followed the same principles which they followed in days gone by. But if you follow these principles, it makes such a huge difference. It's like a minister not praying before they go to the pulpit. You're not praying and waiting upon the Lord and the word. You feel it very quickly when somebody's there in their own intelligence, understanding, effort. And you can feel it when somebody's there and there's an anointing and there's an unction and there's a quickening power. And you can tell that this person's been with Jesus. And that's exactly the same to every single one of us in our own individual callings as well. Okay, well, looks like there's a half hour silence tonight, so maybe we can just finish off then.
God bless you, Pastor.
Ah, God bless you, bro. Bartender, thank you, bro, for redeeming the fellowship.
Yeah, so, Pastor, I have one question. Like Paul and Barnabas, how was Barnabas outside the will of God by wanting to go with John Mark for the evangelism? Because in Scofield, it's mentioned that when Barnabas took John Mark, that was the last time, actually, he's mentioned in the Bible. So how was he outside the will of God by going with that?
Well, I think the way he got out of the will of God was because John Mark was his relative. Remember, I think it was his nephew. And you know, John Mark, he left Paul and Barnabas at a very crucial junction. He was there to help them, to minister to them. You know, he was supposed to be like helping them in the things they were doing. He got to a certain junction now. And if you go and read the life of Paul, you find there was a very difficult journey ahead of them. They were heading out from the coast, heading up through the mountains. It was a, if you read history, it was a very treacherous way. It wasn't easy. It was going to be days and days of walking through the mountains. And then John Mark, he left them. Then he decided he wants to go back to Jerusalem. Yeah, he like left them right in. And then Paul wasn't happy with that. You know, that's where the whole problem came between Barnabas and Paul, is that Barnabas wanted to stick with the young man because maybe he's his nephew, you know? Whereas Paul wasn't willing to take the risk again that this man's going to let us down. Because at that time, John Mark wasn't spiritually equipped or able to handle it. That's why he gave up in the heat of battle. You find later in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, Paul now says, you know, bring him to me. He's profitable for the ministry. So he had grown up now and he had become mature and maybe he had got seasoned in the fight and he became very profitable to Paul's ministry. But at that particular junction, I mean, if you've got the messenger to the age, you've got the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, and he's going in a certain direction and he has a misunderstanding with this young man who's lacks the commitment to see his commitment through, then instead of sticking with Paul, Barnabas followed his fleshly relative. He followed that course and he went his own way. Well, and then, yes, Barnabas went, I think, with Silas somewhere. Ended up going somewhere else. But it wasn't really a wise thing to do. You know, I wouldn't stick with a messenger every day of the week ahead of the opinions of somebody else. You know, obviously, there might be more to it than that. But that's where Barnabas made his mistake. Yeah, and but Abraham learned that mistake as well. He went with Lot. He took his relative with him, and Lot didn't make the grade. I mean, Lot just held him back. There was strife because of it. And that's when, but Lot learned his lesson. I don't need this young man around if he's going to be like this. He told him, you choose which way you want to go. And Lot chose him the way down to Sodom. And then the Lord came down to Abraham and revealed, it says, go through the land north, south, east, and west. I'll show you a greater portion of your inheritance. So God was separating Lot from Abraham. Now, Barnabas was a great man, son of consolation, but that particular misunderstanding, I think it was very, very unnecessary on his behalf. Yeah, I would have thought that I would side with Paul on those kind of things any day. And I think it's a good lesson as well, John Mark, there is that somebody can go out in trying to do something for the Lord and they, you know, they maybe step a little bit too far beyond their spiritual capabilities and maturity. And then they realize on the way that, maybe I am, this isn't what I'm cut out for. And Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. That's what he did. He looked back and he headed back. Whatever it was, maybe it was marriage. Who knows what he wanted? Maybe he heard from the sister he was in courtship with and she was saying, if you stay away too long, I don't want to get married. I don't know what it was, but the young man, he left them in the lurch. They needed him at that junction and he let them down. And Paul wasn't willing to take that risk once again. And Paul was a very good judge of character. He had a very good discernment of the characters of people. But like I say, John Mark redeemed himself and later on, Paul really discerned in him, this is a fine young man. And he wrote the book of Mark. We know that from the Bible. Is that what you're meaning? Something like that, bartender?
Yeah, sure. God bless you.
God
Well
bless you.
explained. Yeah.
There's a question here from the Chiaba brothers. If you're evangelizing to someone on the street and it turns into more of a debate, do you try to calm the situation down or do you walk off? That's Brother James. That's a very, very good question. I think that's one where it really needs the leadership of the Holy Ghost. But I would say one thing which I've learned is that Satan will try to get you to waste your time many times with people. You'll put certain people across your path just to waste your time. You know, they'll just come to try to debate. I've had people like that, and they won't listen to anything that you say. And you can spend a whole hour together there with them on the street while there's a lot of other people walking by that maybe would have been far better, more people that are going to pay far more heed to the things that are being said than this person. So I think there just comes a point when you realize this is getting nowhere. You know, this is just intellectual. This person's just intellectual. There's nothing of the Holy Ghost. God is not speaking to the soul of this person. Bearing in mind, God has to be working on both hands. And if God has been preparing a person for you to speak to them and you meet up with them, you can sense it in yourself. Now, there's something there. There's those times, like you've said in your question there, that there's just nothing there. There's nothing spiritual. Other times it might be that you need to reason with somebody in the scripture, like Paul would do in the synagogues, and he'd win people over like that. There might be a time when you feel, the Lord is still anointing you and quickening you. You can see this is taking time, but it's getting somewhere. We're moving. And this person's got a lot of objections. Satan's put a lot of things in the way between, their soul and salvation. He's crippled them up like the woman at the well with many, many things. But Jesus knew, no, this is worthwhile. And he was willing to stay there, navigate through all of the minefield that was there, and because he knew this is getting somewhere. So I think you can really feel it when something is just basically a waste of time, and Satan's just trying to get you to use your time and your resources and your effort. And when you're getting out to evangelize on the street, you don't normally go for too long. You don't want to press in for hours. Normally 2 hours is a good sort of time. And if someone's going to take up 45 minutes debating about evolution and debating about a whole lot of stuff and not listening, you can see they're not receiving anything. When you're answering them, you can see in their mind they're just making up the next question to rebut you. That they're not considering what you're saying. It's not like the Lord said, come and let us reason together. Now, the atmosphere is not conducive to the bringing forth of spiritual life. I think you feel it yourself. And sometimes, like they say, it's just good to cut your losses. Just to say, okay, that's it. Yeah, and just politely move on, change the topic. Brother Bram used to do that when you'd speak to somebody. As long as it stayed down the line of spiritual things, he'd keep trying to speak to them and push them on. But when it got to the stage where that person would block up now, he'd change the topic, speak about the weather, speak about their business, whatever, because he could see that's as far as the Holy Ghost can go with this person at this time. So I think that's, like I said, when you're moving out of the comfort zone, dealing with people on the street, these are the things you learn about by the mistakes you make. Because in our zeal in the beginning, we sometimes spend 2 hours speaking to a person where it was just another person would be looking, was maybe more mature, saying, that's a waste of time. You should be moving on to someone else. But we have to learn these things ourselves. Learning by doing is the best way of learning these things. So going out with somebody else who's more seasoned, and they say, okay. That's the way that it's done. I mean, I've learned a lot of things. I've got a lot of things to learn, but I've learned a lot of things by going out with people that know what they're doing on the street. It's a great, great asset. So that's a good question, and I hope I answered it okay there. Anybody else before we finish their sentence? Okay. Brother Tendai, because you were so faithful, why don't you close for us in a word of prayer, please, brother?
Okay, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful, Lord Father, that, oh Father, for this message which you have given us, Father, in these closing days of time, Lord Father. Father God, as you said in a word, Lord Jesus, through the prophet, Father, the greatest ministry, Father, we can have, Father, is evangelism, Lord. And, oh Lord Jesus, the greatest gift that can ever be, Father, or a believer, is to impart eternal life unto others, Lord Father. And having the burden, Father, for the lost, Lord Jesus, Father God, may you help us, give us wisdom, Father, to fulfill this great commission, Lord Father. Go outside our comfort zones, and Lord Jesus, Father God, help us, Lord Father, to testify, Lord Jesus, to evangelize, Lord Father, in this part of the world, Lord Father, which, Father, you have commissioned us, Father, to be. Help us, Lord Jesus, Father, to impart this eternal life, Father, to evangelize, Father God, to testify, Father, to all those, Father, who are yet to see the light, Lord Father. Father, we don't know when the last one is coming in, but oh Lord Jesus, may you help us, Father, to fulfill this part of the commission. Help us, Father, may you bless our efforts. Father, may this not just be our thoughts or Father's zeal, but Lord Jesus, most importantly, may we follow your will, Father. May your will be done. May you give us this wisdom. May you help us, Father, oh Father, to carry out this burden, Lord Father, in your wisdom, Father God, so that we can be used as the vessels, Lord Father, to bring in, Father, the last one in this part of this world, Lord Father. May you help us, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for giving us, Father, the message of the hour, which is the final voice to this final church age, Lord Father. May you help us, Father, to be the vessels, Lord Father, to impart the same, Father, to your children, Father. May you help us, Father, to continue and pray for this, Father, in this, Lord Jesus, support those father, even those father who may not be involved, Lord Father, may you help us, Father, in the same body of Christ to pray, Father, for each and every member of the body of Christ. Lord Father, may you help us. We pray, Lord Father, and we thank you, Lord Father, for bringing this burden upon the pastor. Father, may this, Father God, be fulfilled. Father, may you help us, grant us this desire, Father. We pray even for the coming services, for the plannings, Lord Father. Oh,
Amen.
may you be with us, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We glorify your name. Have mercy upon us, Lord Father. Have your own way. May your will be done, Lord Father. Father, during the rest of the week, may you be with us, Father, till we meet again. May you help us, Father God, in our different areas of life, Lord Father, in our work, Father. But more importantly, help us, Father, in our prayer lives. Help us, Father, to fulfill this great commission. We pray and commit all into your hands. In the mighty name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless, saints. Meet you on Friday. Meet you on the weekend. Have a wonderful time. Brother Sabine, God bless. Good to see you, bro. Sister Razan, God bless each and every one.
God
God
bless.
bless.